I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Oh, when I saw this story on KSL television over the weekend, I thought, we got to find out more about this. Every parent's worst nightmare. Your kid sets off a firework in an illegal zone or outside the window of time when they're allowed to do it. And the Unified Fire Authority chief was on KSL TV, of course, one of the largest departments, if not the largest department in the state, and saying, parents, you're going to be held liable.
If your kids are playing with fireworks in a restricted area or outside of the approved time frame, you're going to be liable.
And that's a tough one. That's a scary one because, as all parents know, the curious teenagers that don't have brain cells that always work can just grab the firecrackers, go out, have some fun, and then not realize the real danger that these fireworks are.
Stop talking about this
in the third person. Is the hypothetical?
This is 12-year-old Dave Noriega at Ponce Park with your brother's illegally gotten gains from Wyoming 100 years ago.
Yes.
Lighting the entire park on fire.
Oh, Debbie, I was terrified.
Could your parents afford to pay for the damage?
No, because it's so expensive, right? I mean, fighting these fires is not just thousands. It can be millions of dollars, depending on how big the fire gets, right? But that's exactly, thanks a lot for selling me out. But totally what I did. We went down. We were strapping G.I. Joe action figures to bottle rockets.
Like you do.
We were launching as you do. We were launching them into the sky, and sure enough, one just went straight into some dry weeds, and it exploded, and the fire started.
Stop.
And we were maybe, I don't know, 30 feet away from the ponds, and we were going down, and we were filling our hands. We were cupping our hands full of water, and we were running over trying to throw it onto the fire.
Where were the buckets you brought?
We had no buckets. We had plenty of G.I. Joe figures.
Where was the fire extinguisher you carted from underneath your mom's sink? Nothing.
Nothing.
Went in not unprepared, probably in a restricted zone, practically burned down the entire park.
Yes.
And had no clue whatsoever what this could cost your parents.
No idea. Didn't even cross our mind. And here's the crazy thing. One of my buddies that was with me, his dad is a volunteer fireman. So, I mean, he was panicked because he's like, my dad's going to kill me. I'm like, yeah, all our parents are going to kill us.
Dan Peterson, the chief of the Unified Fire Authority, will you please come down to Broadcast House and arrest Dave Noriega? Actually, he's in his mom's basement in Kaysville right now. You're going to go after the kids this year, chief, if they're lighting off fireworks illegally.
Well, it was part of the law change that brings civil liability. That was part of the changes that occurred in 2018. And, you know, that really was part of the compromise we made to try and make some improvement in identifying those dangerous areas, identifying those dangerous times, and realizing that just what you described is the chance of a kid going out with fireworks in a bad space. How does somebody hold them accountable? And the poor people that might lose their home over a fireworks damage has to get some sort of reparation from that, right? And the idea is if we find a fireworks and it's outside of the designated area or outside of the time, and if we can show that that was the cause of the fire, it's automatic negligence on behalf of the person, whether it's an adult or a child. And a child obviously can't make that payment to fix the damages and the cost that occurs.
I do wonder if this is one of the dangers of having such a restricted window of when you can shoot off fireworks. You know, only having, you know, 3 days around the 4th and 3 days around the 24th, it does kind of lead kids and even adults to kind of do it in the shadows instead of saying, hey, we're in an open place. It has, you know, plenty of cement and area and safety. Are you worried sometimes that we restrict it so much that it does send everyone to the shadows?
Well, I'm not sure how that would make sense. I mean, the dangerous area is the dangerous area. Whether you're, most areas you can go into a legal space. You can look on our website and look where it's legal and be in pretty good shape. But if you're going to go into a restricted area, you shouldn't be in there, whether it's in a 3 day window or a 20 day window.
But I guess my thought is, you know, if it's July 15th and we still want to have some fun, instead of doing it in an open place in the middle of the neighborhood, you know, where it's safe, you know, we kind of skulk off into an area that probably isn't is safe because it's away from people. I guess that would be my thinking.
Yeah, I mean, well, for me, I think that's just a dangerous event for us in this kind of weather. I mean, look outside. We're mid-90s, mid-100s, high winds, all these other challenges. Fireworks are, it's a dangerous time to celebrate with live fire in those areas. The theme of the rework was just to shrink the time a little bit. But realistically, there are a lot of professional shows you can go out and enjoy. Almost everybody is having some sort of a great event that you can go enjoy fireworks. I'm going to really promote just maybe this particular year, maybe it's good to skip a year. 18 and 19, we had a downturn because of the weather change. If you remember, it got a little cloudy. It even rained a little bit. But in 2017, it was also a bad year, which led us towards some changes. And we had a couple of apartment complex fires. We almost lost a few homes in Cottonwood Heights. We had every resource we have on duty a day. All 25 stations were busy in 2017 because the weather was a little warmer. So I guess let's put some common sense into it. And if the weather is this way on the 4th or even on the other days on either side, let's skip a year.
How often are you dealing with fires caused by the professional, the big professional outfits? You know, they have those huge fireworks, the huge mortars, compared to the much smaller fireworks, the private fireworks.
Well, there are times when some of those have a small malfunction, but generally we're focused, we're supporting. They've gone through, and maybe we have a small fire that might start next to it, but they're really well planned. The problem that we're having is that we're putting fire into amateurs' hands, and we're allowing them to shoot it up in the air 150 feet, and they can go anywhere, and we don't have anybody standing by. There's been no prep work. There's been no training on how to do that. The wind can blow it into a bad area. So we don't have a real problem with the professional shows. In fact, we would very much support. That's where you should go get your adrenaline that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Chief Peterson, before we let you hang up, I think parents need to know so they can tell their kids, because I used to always use the law as a stick. I'm like, do you know how much you're going to get fined if you do this? And it's illegal. So give us an idea of the kinds of fines parents could face if their kids are caught setting off fireworks illegally, even though they don't torch the whole neighborhood with the firework.
So if there's no damage and no suppression costs, you can be fined up to $1,000 for that. If there ends up starting a fire and it burns, and you can also be charged the total cost of the suppression, which can get expensive. And I think you might even heard the governor talk about some of these big fires can be $1 million a day fires. And in addition, if you damage someone's house, you're going to be liable for the damage to that house as well. So those three components can make a can destroy a family pretty quickly.
Well, Chief,
but you also got to think about the people that lost their home and the damage that it spent and the funds costing to actually suppress the fire because somebody did something negligent. Well, so there's a problem with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I can tell you, after my experience, I am the most boring fireworks guy alive. I take no chances. In fact, I don't buy any fireworks. It did. It scarred me at a very young age because I saw firsthand and I realized how dangerous and how out of control it was. Fortunately, we got it put out, but I tell you, it was because someone was looking over us because we had everything going against us. Thank you so much for joining us, Dan Peterson, Chief of Unified Fire Authority. And Debbie, I think a lot of people are disappointed, but I think a lot of people understand as well.
And then we have a new law in place, and it can hold parents liable for something that their child does outside the law regarding a firework. So straight ahead. Oh, I'm so excited for this, Dave. Every Monday at 10:50, we're going to get out a brand new award, and we're calling it the Yellowest Lawn Award. Who wins the D2 first ever Yellowest Lawn Award? We're going to announce the winner next.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.